drops are falling on my head. And just like
and welcome back to Success Made to Last Legend Series. I'm Rick Tokini. Our very special guest today is the one and only hitmaker, B.J. Thomas. B.J. Thomas, Billy Joe Thomas, is originally from Hugo, Oklahoma, married Gloria Richardson 52 years ago, has sung some of the greatest songs in our generation, and has won 5 Grammys. His songs include the one and only Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, Hooked on a Feeling, and so many other fantastic songs. B.J. Thomas, welcome to our Legends Show.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that compliment. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
B.J., you have connected with America through some of the most fantastic songs of all time. We're always interested in this show in learning about our legends' hometowns. Tell us about yours and share some of your fondest memories.
Well, I grew up in Houston. I actually was born in Oklahoma, but I only was there as soon as I could travel after my birth. Well, we had always lived in Houston. So I grew up in Houston. Houston was a great, I guess my biggest memory is what a great music city Houston was. And all the great people I saw perform, and because they always had a couple of, early summer and late summer radio shows at the Coliseum in Houston. And I saw, I'd see Ray Charles a couple of times a year, and I saw just about everybody who was making, popular music at that time. And just a great music city.
Man, that's really nice to hear. We enjoy hearing those backstories. Hey, tell us a little bit about your favorite musical influencers along the way, in addition to your mention of Ray Charles.
Well, I guess my earliest, of course, I was aware of Elvis Presley when he came, and I'd always loved Hank Williams from the time I was just a little boy. I remember Elvis coming on the scene, but I guess the guy that really motivated me vocally was Jackie Wilson, and also Bobby Bland. Bobby Bland was with Peacock Records, which was Don Robey's record label there in Houston, and he had many great R&B singers on that. And I noticed right away when I began to get really interested in what was on the radio and who was performing live that the black entertainers of my day were, some of the best of all time. And so I was drawn to Bobby Bland. I loved him dearly, and Jackie Wilson, of course, Ray Charles. And, I was kind of a classic music lover, Sam Cooke and the whole list. Although at the same time, I loved Ricky Nelson and so I was kind of influenced by, it was kind of when I first really started seriously getting into the music, it was right at the inception of Top 40 radio. So I was hearing all these different genres on the same Top 40 station. And, I loved all of them, and I was influenced by most everybody.
Hey, thanks for sharing that. You mentioned Elvis. This week, we lost one of the great songwriters of all time, Mac Davis, who happened to write several songs for Elvis, including In the Ghetto, Memories, and Don't Cry Daddy. Tell us about your fondest memories of Mac Davis.
Yeah, really, a really devastating loss there. And, Mac was a good friend of mine, and I didn't see him that often as we were kind of, he was California, mostly in Nashville, and I'm Texas, and I don't get around that much, especially now. So, but he was a great guy. He was absolutely one of the good guys, just a truly, sincerely wonderful, wonderful guy. Everybody will tell you that he was, he just was always so personable and sincere and real. And, he was just, He was just a great guy. Of course, he had the great success with Elvis in the comeback sessions that Elvis actually in the studio where I had been recording at American Studio with the Chips Moman and the American Studio Group for a few years, and I was living in Memphis at the time, and we wanted to get Elvis to come in. And of course, he did, and Mac had a lot of success with Elvis, and great guy, and very, very sad. When I heard that he was in the hospital with the heart surgery, I really didn't worry about it that much because my wife had the open heart surgery last year, and they really kind of had that down where it's they can mm-hmm. do that surgery, and it's not necessarily, there's always a chance that something might go wrong, but usually they do it pretty successfully. So I was very disappointed and saddened when I heard that he was having problems, and then he subsequently passed away, and very, very sad. Of course, Helen Reddy passed away that same day, and my best friend, Roy Head of Treater Right fame, passed away last week. So it's been a tough couple of weeks.
Man, it certainly has. And let's talk about that 52-year marriage to Gloria Richardson. To what do you attribute that long-term success?
Well, I think we were, we fell in love. I fell in love with her the first time I saw her. I'm not sure she fell in love that quick, but we were in love when we got married, of course, in '68, and we still are in love. And we never really gave up on each other, although we didn't. It hasn't been it's like any lifetime and any marriage. It hasn't just been perfect all the time, and we've had our challenges and our drama, as everybody will. But I was, and I know she was too. I was committed to my wedding vows, and I never considered any other way. And we never gave up on each other, and we hung in there and got through the bad times. And we've had many wonderful years. She's a great girl. She wrote a lot of my gospel music and wrote one of my number one country records, New Looks from an Old Lover. And she's just pretty cool.
Well, congrats again. Hey, if we had Gloria on the show today, what would she say is the greatest song that you have ever sung?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have to say now that she is a huge fan of mine, and she always has been very encouraging, and always expressed her appreciation and her love for the way I sing and what I do. And so maybe she's been fooling me all this time, but she's always encouraged me and made me feel like I was her favorite guy and her favorite singer. Oh. I'm not sure I could pick, one song. I think she just likes what I've done in general. I think maybe the song that stands out that, at least in my mind, that I recorded for Gloria, and I always think about her. Of course, I think about her all the time when I'm singing most of my songs are for her, but I recorded a song, in Georgia with Buddy Bowie and Steve Tyrell. Back in the 70s, called Most of All, and that's kind of the song that really is just all about her.
Can you sing a couple of bars for us?
Well, it goes, "Hello, darling, it's good to hear you. I'm at the railroad station in St. Paul. How are all the folks? I'd love to see them. But girl, I'd love to see you most of all."
Wow.
I'm not sure I got the right key there. But
well, here's to Gloria. I hope that she gets to hear this show and enjoy that. That's beautifully sung.
Well, that song was written by Buddy Bowie and J.R. Cobb, It was one of the, this never happens, and it's happened twice in my recording career, but you know, of course, they pitched the song to me. We had it down for the session, and I learned the song. It took a few minutes and learned, and we played it down a couple of times. I learned the song, and then the first time we recorded it, we got it. It was done, and we didn't do it again. We only had the one recording tape, so that never, that's a very rare occurrence that you get the song just like you want it, with the feel and the correctness and all that the very first time you record it. But most of all, it was that way. It was like I already knew the song when I heard it. It just took like 30 seconds for it to be in my mind, because it just, it's like I always knew it. So anyway, special song to me.
Let's talk about Raindrops for a second. Legend has it that it took 7 takes before the song was perfected. Tell us what actually happened.
Well, you know, I've done quite a few interviews on that thing, especially this year, and I'm getting the 7 take story a lot. But it wasn't 7 takes. We of course, I did it for the bicycle scene, and I had a few problems at the time. I had laryngitis, and there were all kinds of drama there. And you know, my voice was shot. I'd been working, doing a lot of one-nighters. I was on the road for 3 weeks before I went out and did the bicycle scene. So the movie version, the vocal is kind of rough sounding, and the Bacharach liked that. He thought that just fit the situation perfectly. But we re-recorded the Raindrops about 6 weeks after the movie version in New York at Columbia Studios. And we only did it 3 times. The third time is when I did the me thing on the end, and they really liked that. But and as it turns out, Phil Ramone was the engineer on the session, and they put the 3 takes together. They spliced them together, and we only did the 3 takes, but he used all 3 of them on the number one record version. Our single version. And he was great. You know, he was a wonderful composer. He was an awesome guy. And then he may be one of the greatest pop music composers of all time. And when he had it written down, of course, we had the second version. We had about 90 guys in the studio, strings and all that stuff. And he had, of course, all the parts were written down. And they were perfectly, they were just like he wanted it to be, and they were perfectly correct as far as my experience with the song has been. And so it didn't take a bunch of takes. There weren't, you know, we had the best musicians New York City could offer. So, you know, we just needed 3 takes. And, you know, it was really a beautiful experience. The whole thing with Raindrops, everything, even the, you know, the drama part and all the laryngitis and all that thing, it all went together beautifully. My experience with Mr. Bacharach and Hal David was just one of the most important of my career, of course. And you know, I have all my memories of Raindrops are fond memories.
BJ, on this show, we always talk about legendary songs, and we know that you've got a really good friend in Mark James, who happened to have written the song for you, Hooked on a Feeling, also wrote Suspicious Minds, and then collaborated on Always on My Mind. Tell us about your special friendship.
I was the first guy to record You Were Always on My Mind. I did a great version of it. It was written by Mark James, Wayne Carson, and Johnny Christopher. And, of course, Mark is a dear friend of mine and a great, great writer. He had also written The Eyes of a New York Woman for me and other, you know, many other songs, really, on my albums and things. And we were good friends. We knew each other when we were kids. And he called me from Memphis and asked me way back at the first of my career. I'd had a couple of hit records with I'm So Lonesome and Mama. And I had been working, you know, on the road a lot. And he called me and asked me, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, nothing much right now. And he said, well, he asked me to advise me to come to Memphis that they were cutting hit records on everybody, and they had a bunch of writers. And so I did. I moved up to Memphis and started recording there, and he wrote a lot of my songs there. And, you know, of course, he's in the Hall of Fame, Country Hall of Fame, and the Worldwide Songwriters Hall of Fame, and just one of my dear, dear friends and one of the great writers of all time.
So what's the secret to writing a great song?
Well, I think if you keep it personal, Mark's songs always sounded personal to me. I know we took a trip when I first signed with Scepter Records, and all the writers and the musicians in the American studio band, we took a trip to New York and toured the offices of Scepter, and Scepter, you know, took us all out to dinner and made a big thing out of me signing with the label and recording in Memphis. And when we came home, well, Mark wrote the song, The Eyes of a New York Woman. And I think what he, and then subsequently wrote Hooked on a Feeling for me. And, you know, I just think if you keep your writing personal to yourself, then it makes it a lot more unique. You know, you're not just looking for some kind of idea that will work, but if you just go along with your own personal feelings and your own personal experiences. And that's what Mark seemed to do, and it seemed to work well for him.
Very good. That's so interesting. Just a few more questions for our special guest, BJ Thomas. Hey, BJ, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
Well, I would definitely tell myself to stay sober. You know, I've been very lucky in my career. I worked with some of the great writers of my time, and, you know, I accomplished a lot. But, you know, when I look back on it now, I mean, I realize if I'd have treated myself a little better and not had the alcohol and drug problems that I had, I probably could have done 10 times what I've done. So, of course, I don't have any regrets really, but I do have some problems with myself about the way I was kind of a product of my generation. I was, alcohol was my first problem personally, on a personal level. And then through the 60s, and into the 70s, you know, drugs were kind of a part of the music business, but not so much now, but it was back then, and with the Beatles influence and all that. So, you know, I'd tell myself to just treat myself better, stay sober, and concentrate on songwriting. And that's about it. Otherwise, I think I was very fortunate, very lucky, and as I look back on my career, I have a lot of satisfaction, and you know, I appreciate all the years that I was able to make good music.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for that. We appreciate your insight. BJ, this has got to be one of the strangest years in the history of our country with the pandemic. Can you provide a few words of encouragement to our audience during this unusual time?
Oh yeah, I'm a very positive kind of guy. I mean, you know, I do my share of complaining, but I try to keep my head up during this pandemic, and I have been quarantined since March 15th. I've been out of the house here very, very few times, so I'm concentrating on not gaining too much weight. Yeah. And you know, keeping my head up. I got a real positive things about it. You know, I think that the country has got some problems now. I mean, I'm very disappointed that we still have these racial issues. You know, I'm not going to get political, but I do think that we need to appreciate life. And I think our racial difficulties are getting a little tiresome now. That, you know, how long does it take for someone to appreciate and respect his fellow man? I think that's one of the key things to having a successful life or a happy life is, you know, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I'm very disappointed at times that we're still dealing with this age-old problem, and I think we have some of the greatest, and I think it's highlighted in our music industry that you know, the black entertainers and writers and performers have been the equal and most of the time better than anyone in our industry. So I have appreciated the black artist and the entertainer since I was 12 or 13 years old, and realized how good, and you know, they always seemed to believe everything they did, the way they performed, mm-hmm. and how they sang, and that was very effective to me. And I try to do that with my music. I try to live up to the emotional part of the song. But you know, I think as far as the pandemic goes, if we can just follow the scientists' instructions, and we can protect ourselves, and that will protect other people. And you know, of course, we're going to get through this one day, and maybe it looks like it's going to take the United States a little longer than some other people. But it's just going to be a kind of a long haul for this kind of thing. And we know, as Americans, we've been through some tough times, and we always come out better than when we started. And I truly believe that that's the way this is going to end up. We're going to be better for this. We're going to be safer and more protective of our fellow man. And I can't wait for the day when I can, you know, be back on the road and be performing again. I'm so looking forward to that.
Well, to that end, where can we learn about your new music and tee up to see you for concerts next year?
Yeah, I am planning on going into, I had to postpone my session I had due for Muscle Shoals in July, but I'm all in for that. I'm going in the studio and Muscle Shoals with Dan Penn and Billy Lawson as soon as I can. And you can find out all about what I'm doing on my Facebook page, BJ Thomas. I've got a really nice Facebook page, and bjthomas.com is how you can reach me otherwise. And we always try to keep up with and let you know where we're going and what we're doing on that.
Well, BJ, thanks again for being on our Legend Show. We sure hope that Gloria gets to hear you singing that special song to her.
Well, I appreciate it, Rick. And, man, I appreciate you supporting me and talking to me, and all your listeners out there. I can never repay you for the support you've given me over the years. And just thanks a lot, buddy. I really enjoyed it.
Likewise, BJ. BJ sang a line in Raindrops, and it said, "It won't be long until happiness itself will greet me." Maybe it's that is the anthem that we should take forward to today and consider that happiness will, in fact, greet you sometime very soon in the future. I'm Rick Tokini. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on this Legend Show. We appreciated BJ Thomas being on, and we continue to be inspired by his great singing and his work. Hey, as we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. I'm hooked on a feeling. Tell you a little bit about Blinkist. Blinkist is the most useful app on my phone. It's really hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's this incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique. It works on my iPhone, and it could work on your tablet or web browser as well. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well-known for reading lots of books, and Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, or lunch break, or while you exercise. There's 12 million plus people using Blinkist right now,
and it's got a growing library of self-help, business, health, history books. And you can go to Blinkist.com to see some of the latest titles. I like Blinkist because listening to some of the most popular books that I just haven't found time to get to, including Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow and Super Thinking by Gabe Weinberg. Two great books. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. You can go to Blinkist.com/success and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/success to start your free 7-day trial today. Give it a shot. You will love microburst learning from Blinkist.